It's a good kapara. Okay, we're holding on. Daf Yudalit Amud Aleph. We were trying to bring a raya for how we know that Kayanim are mischapping with the power of the Kohen Gadol as opposed to the Sarah Mishtaleach. Now the and once again to remind you, we have a machlokas about this issue about Shar HaVeiros in the Mishnah. So the question is, do we look at the par as consisting essentially of two separate kaporas, just like the Sawyer having been split into two animals as two separate kaporas? One is the kaporas Adam and one is the kaporas Avidui, which in the par is just like in any other animal. We have both the Dam and the Vidui. Okay, so the it's the one sheet that we have in our Mishnah holds that Kishem Shadam Hasayir, and only the Dam Hasayir Hanasa Bifnim, because there was no separate Vidui, it was made on the Saranasa Bachut, his Bachapron, Tumas Migdash Vikitesha, and the Vidui of the Sayyid's Bachapra al Shara, there is, so too, do we say by the Kayanim, that the dam of the par anasa d'fnim, which is the equivalent of the seir anasa d'fnim, is mechaper of tumas migdash v'kadesh. Not everybody is made up, the guy with the kehanim. So the question is the same thing true of the kapora on shar averes? That now the vidui on the par should be similar for kehanim to the vidui of the seir anasa of the seir of the mishtaleah for Yisrael, and Shara Averes for Kayanim should be Mischapres with the power of the Kohen Gadol. And in that context, we brought a Brisa. Now, the reason why I'm reviewing this is today we want to look into the details of that Brisa. The Brisa that we brought pointed out that no matter how you look at it, we have a problem. So on the one hand, it says by the Soyer HaMishtaleach, and the Saran Hasab its name, it's called Asher La'am. On the other hand, the par is called Asher Loi, meaning it belongs to Aaron personally. Well, Kohanim can't be Mischaper Asher La'am because it's stressing it's Asher La'am v'lo lo Kohanim. On the other hand, they can't be Mischaper B'shel Aaron because it says Asher Loi. That's not them. So what do we do? So the Gemara came out, since it says at the end of the list of the kaporas, that after it's the oil maid, the mishka, the mikdash hakodesh, the oil maid, the mizbeach, halakayanim, the alaam yechaper, mashman that they bought, I have a kapora. Now we have to decide where to find that kapora. Okay, so we consider what's more reasonable. To violate the asher la'am, and to say kayanim should be included, we have no indication that it should be violated at all. Masha'inken, we know that we can't take the Asher Lo all that seriously by Aharon, because even though it says Asher Lo and it repeats Asher Lo three times, as you see, nonetheless, it also says that he per ba'ado ba'ad be'so. And ba'ad be'so is certainly not Lo, so Lo has to be constructed in a broader sense as well. So why not go all the way and say it'll be Makapur and the Kehanim also? We ended by saying, V'im nafshech halomar. And if you have any objection to that, it says, Beit Aaron b'chuat Hashem, Beit Alevi b'chuat Hashem, Yireh Hashem b'chuat Hashem. Now today we'd like to understand what exactly is that last verse. Mayim nafshakalomar is where we were up to over here, six lines down. So what is the meaning when you say, Im nafshakalomar, if you have an objection to that? I mean, we never say that unless we think of the objection. I mean, what objection were we referring to? Because, you see, even though it says with the Adovad Beso, which seems to be a violation of Lo, it still is definitely limiting it to Bad Beso, isn't it? I mean, so, okay, so it's a construction of Lo that is the extend itself to his home. But, I mean, if anything, that makes it even more tight. Because it's always now defining. And what do I mean by the Lo? Beso. So then if that's the case, if it's the Bedavka Besoksiv, I will answer you to that objection that we find Kohanim called Beso, and therefore it's not really a violation. Shenemar Beis Aharon Borkwes Hashem Beis Alevi, Borkwes Yirei Hashem, Borkwes Hashem, it must be the Seis Aharon includes all Echad HaKehan. Now, we darshan Asher La'am, and we said, Asher La'am means it's only the Am, and it doesn't come to be Mechafer on the Kohen, and that's what we said, when we set up this little bit of a problem, contrasted the two. But it's not even so that the Asher La'am La'achi will be Asher. What? You believe that that's the meaning of Asher La'am? That it's coming to stress that Kohanim do not have a kapara from the Sayer? You know perfectly well that we need that posse to tell me that it has to be brought from the Am. That's the pshat. So how are you using it? That's the whole meaning. Asher lo is that the Kohen Gadol pays for it, and Asher la'am is that the Tzibur pays for it. Well, what does that have to do with your drasha now? You're making everything sound like it's a hakpada the Torah is giving on who is mischaper, when all it's talking about is who is going to pay out of pocket. So how did it come to mean that? So ask the Gemara, I'll say that inside again. Is this, well, no. What do you mean? It says the Pharisee that the people have to pay for it. It says me eith adas b'nei Yisrael. It stresses b'feirish at me eith. This is umi eith. Me de umi eith. We bring this from the pasuk umi eith adas b'nei Yisrael. Yikach shnei sireizim. So that is already telling us the Asher lo must be coming to tell us that it's not mechaper anybody else. No, that's not true. Because we still need it. I mean, boy, little kid, Tanya. Mishalohu mevi ve'eno mevi mishel tzibur. He has to bring his own korban, pay for it himself, but he cannot use the money that goes to the tzibur to pay for his korban. Yocho lo yavim mishel tzibur she'ena tzibur mitzchafrim. Well, you might think that this means, well, of course, he doesn't bring it from the Trumas Alishka, because after all, it's not being brought to the people who donated money to the Trumas Alishka. But he could certainly make a collection, the Echav HaKohanim, because they're being mischaper on it. So he should now be able, Avo Yavim Mishel Echav HaKohanim, She Echav HaKohanim Mitchaprim Bo. Talmud Lomar, Asher Lo. Now the reason that it says Asher Lo is therefore coming to tell me that it has to be brought from his own personally. So if now it's coming to tell me that, certainly not coming to tell me what you said, that Asher Lo is that it's Davke is, it's not me, Echav HaKohanim. And you might think, Yocho Lo Yavi, Ve'im Hevi Kasher, Talmud Lomar, Shuv, Asher Lo, HaKatuv Shana Alav La'akev. The truth is that it says yet another Asher Lo. So what we have is like this. The Adats B'nai Yisrael indeed tells us that B'nai Yisrael, they have to pay for it. And now we have Asher La'am, which I would have thought means that the Am cannot, which I do say, is the Am is chapin, the Kareinim are not chapin from it, at least according to the Kama. The Mishalo maybe is one of the Sukkim. The first Asher Lo, that comes to tell me that he has to pay for it. The second Asher Lo comes to tell me that you can't come from Echav HaKohanim. But there is a third Asher Lo that tells me that the Echav HaKohanim, I would have thought, this is how I was being medayik, and it should not be mischaper on from it either, which is why we needed our raya. So if you consider we have two separate circuits, it's interesting that each time it mentions it, it always repeats Asher Lo, even in the context of Chiper Ba'ado Ba'ad Beso. So the Ikriv Aron is Parachatas Asher Lo, the Chiper Ba'ado Ba'ad Beso. And that was the pasuk that we were analyzing here. Now we're saying there's also the Ikriv Aron is Parachatas Asher Lo, again, the Chiper Ba'ado Ba'ad Beso. And then again it repeats Vishachatas Parachatas Asher Lo. So there's three Asher Lo's that we're darshaning over here. So therefore, the kasha, Tana Ofika kashale, maishna bida'am, he was saying like this. We're using these three already to tell me that you cannot bring it from anybody else, from the Trumas Alishka. You cannot bring it from Echav HaKohanim. And if you did bring it, you would be, in fact, not Yosef. because it's shana love la'akev, that's our call by kachin. Repeat something, and it becomes now ma'akev. Fine. So what was the Tana asking? Why doesn't Asher Lo mean that the Kohanim can't get a kapara from whom? We were never talking about kapara. We were always talking about money. You've answered me about the Am, because over there I have a separate pasuk for money. Umeis b'nei Yisrael. But you haven't answered me why I would say Asher Lo is ma'ak of the kapara. This is the Gemara Tana Hofik or Kashler. The question that the Tana was asking was this. Maishna b'da'am de'lo mechaper. When we're saying over here that you're not going to be mischaper mishel ha'am, why is that? We have two psukim. The Eitz B'nai Yisrael tells me who pays for it, and then it says asher la'am, as if to say, just remember who paid for that. In other words, you don't pay, you don't get kapara. That's what it's saying. In other words, if I'm telling you, I told you up front that it has to be me'etz ha'am, me'etz B'nai Yisrael. So why do you stress to me? What do you call that little that children's book? Is it Chicken Little or that was one with the sky falling? So which one was Chicken Little? The one who went around trying to get people to help, and then you don't. No, I don't want the sky falling. I want the other one. He kept asking for help, and nobody wanted to participate. Then when he gets the thing, he doesn't share with the hens. I mean the hens. Yeah. In any event, the same thing over here. He didn't pay for it. So therefore, you don't remember that story? You remember that story?
I think you're
anyway, it's a famous story. So over here, the Torah seems to be saying, you don't pay, no tiki, no lani. You don't pay for it, you don't get a kapara from it. And if that's the case, I would have thought, what's it called? Okay, the little red end. So if you didn't pay, you don't get a kapara either here. That's what I would have thought. So my shna bida am de loma kapara loka chasri be mamona dichsiv asher la'am. If that's the case by Aharonami, loka chasri be mamona. So then you didn't pay for it, and if you didn't pay for it, you shouldn't get a kapara. That was his question. Not that the words themselves imply asher la'am velo la'asher la'kohanim in terms of the actual kapara. And on that, the Tana answered, V'kama, kulan kuyin beto, that they're all considered to be the bias. There's some interesting...
All
Kohanim are considered to be his bias, and they're as if that he is bringing for, has paid for it as well. But the question over here is it really true that nobody paid for it? Because what if you hold... What if you hold that Kohanim are supposed to be paying the shekel, which is how we fast, right? So if that's the case, if they were being shokel, then that means that when we buy from the Trumas HaLishkah, Asher La'am, it's being paid for by Kohanim. So is it really reasonable to say that the Torah is being told who's paying for the Am, and saying that therefore you're not getting a kapara because you didn't pay for it, when in fact you could sign it that Kohanim paid for it as much as any other carbon that is being brought, right? It's a little bit odd. So Tosfos Tainas, that although it's true that they paid for it in a sense, if you'll take it from the Trumas HaLishkah, well, what would be the din if someone would dedicate a Sawyer to the Am for purposes of bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash? Or suppose we made a special collection and we didn't take from Kohanim, then that would be perfectly okay because it only has to be Mashiach Ma'am. So that means that the participation in it was purely coincidental. It happened to be the gay money from a Zalichka, and now we're using that money. But Lamaisa, it certainly is not that they're supposed to have a chelek in it. It just worked out that way. Mamela, we can't call it as if it's coming from them. That's the pshat. This is an interesting thing.
It's not really a carbon tzibur.
Yeah, but once it's given, it's given. As we say, that it's already given over into the hands of the tzibur at that point.
So they can use it for their carbon?
No. I don't understand what you're asking. It's the other way around here. I'm not saying the Kohanim can use the Trumas HaLishkah for Asher Lo. I'm saying it's the opposite. The Gemara is saying that the reason that the Sawyer is not Mechaper on Kohanim is because they don't pay for it. But that isn't really true. Technically, they do pay for it because we possibly have to give the shekels. Tosfos explains. But that even if they would, it would only be a coincidence they happen to give, because Lamaisa, if we made a special collection, it wouldn't have come from the Kohanim. It's fine, so we use this money.
The idea that the Kohanim would have a different
No, it's exactly the same set of averos. It's tumas migdash v'kedosha on the one hand, from the par, and on shara averos we have a machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, whether it's from the sar mishtaleach or whether it's from the par, whether it's from the vidle apar. It means the same averos that Yisrael was being mischaper on with the sar and hasa bifni. Okay, so Lamaisa, we have an interesting situation at the end, because the fact is, we learned out, and this is a difficult thing in the Gemara. What was our consideration? That they wouldn't get a kapora at all? In other words, we know from Yechaper, that was the basis of the whole drasha. We have a problem, they don't seem to fit in anywhere. Yet the Torah insisted from the word Yechaper that they fit in somewhere. They're going to have to get a kapara. So therefore, what were we going to say? That the kapara would be mina'am or michal tibur, right? So what's the bottom line? Is it that really they're not getting kapara because they didn't pay? If it's that they didn't pay for Aaron's either. Remember, we made an assumption. What was our, the Torah never said that one is dependent on the other. It was our assumption that since it said, umi'ez b'nei Yisrael, and then it said, Asher La'am, that they must be interdependent. So then we said, oh, so if that's true, then they shouldn't be mischaper from Aaron either, because they weren't paying from Aaron. So then we said, okay, well, we obviously made a mistake. That wasn't the reason, because after all, the Torah never said such a thing. Right? Never said that you need to pay for a thing. So Tosis explains that, in essence, what the Gemara was really asking is that there's something wrong with our logic. That's the point that the Gemara was making. If we were trying to set up the psukim to mean, this is the way we said it, that asher la'am means only the am gets kapora, and asher lo means only Aaron gets kapora, and we answer, does it really mean? Well, yeah, does it really mean that? It really means only that they pay for it. So we said, well, by extension, it means that. If we can show now that by Aaron, where Aaron also doesn't, that he pays for it and they haven't paid for it, then obviously, by extension, is wrong. That's all. So it's so problematic. What was the Tana asking? That's what Tosis understands the Gemara to be asking, ultimately. You made yourself a whole problem out of whole cloth, because that problem was never said in the Torah, and you obviously made a mistake in analyzing it. Therefore, we need to figure out Tana Ocha Kakasha. What he's really worried about is that there's an interrelationship that appears to be true over here. So it continues the Gemara. Now, in practical terms, therefore, we have now two different ways of understanding what it is that the Kapara is for Kohanim. Does it come partially from the Sarah Mishtaleach, or does it come completely from the Par? Now, what's interesting is that there's three separate kapparas, and anybody who's read the Masechta knows that Aaron is mizvada twice. And the reason mizvada twice is because it says two times the vasiper, which means each one of those kapper can't be the kapara of the dam, because it says vasiper ba'ado ba'ad beto twice, and then only afterwards it says vishachat et. So how could you possibly have brought the dam before you did the shvita? That would be quite a trick. Right? So the keeper has got to be vidui. So that means that there's really three separate kaporas. There's two vidui and one kapora of the dam. Now, how do we understand those? And of course, in the Masechta, we do exactly the same thing. We say the two vidui that Aaron makes, and then we talk about bringing the dam hapar. So, according, says the Gemara, Bishlam and Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, this makes sense. Because the Torah points out that you have two vidui, and you have also the dam of the par. Why would we need those two viduim? Because we have the v'chiper v'ado v'ad beto twice, And then we have v'shachat with the ma'isa hadam. The reason would be because chad keneged tzor hanase bifnim, chad keneged tzor hanase b'chutz. Remember that we do have three separate kaparas. We have the question of what's mischaper in the tzor hanase bifnim, which is yesh bo yediyah b'tchila, the ein bo yediyah b'sof. And then we have the tzor hanase b'chutz, which is the musafim, and that we're mechaper on. Ein bo yediyah b'tchila, v'yesh bo yediyah b'sof. Okay, so those are two separate viduyim. Then we have all of the shara averot. So for that, we would need the dam. That makes perfectly good sense according to Rabbi Shimon. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't have three separate kaparas, because the shara averot are included in not ba'ado ba'ad beito, or the dam of the par, but rather in the viduy that he makes on the tzor hamishtaleach. So how do we explain, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Lord Rabbi Yehuda, Trei Viduyim V'Dama Par Lomali, why do we have it in this way? Bechad Vidui V'Dama Sagi, would have been enough to say Vidui once, to be Mekaper for Tumas Migdash V'Kedoshav and the Saran Hazabifnim, the equivalent of, and one to be Mekaper Tumas Migdash V'Kedoshav for the Saran Hazabachutz, one where Yesh Bo Yediyah B'Tchila V'Ein Bo Yediyah B'Sov. And one where Yeshbo, Ein Bo Yediyah B'Tchila, Yeshbo Yediyah B'Sof. Answers the Gemara, Echad Lo V'Echad L'Beito. The truth is that Aaron says two separate Biduyim, one mentioning himself and his family, and one mentioning himself and the family, which is the way we say it, because it's under the very Bishmal. Kaki Midat Hadin No Heget. Mutav Yavo Zakai V'Echaper Ala Chayav. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, it makes sense for him to first be misvada personally on him and his family, and then to be misvada on the entire Echav HaKayanim, on the Ubeisi, and, as we say, all the base Aaron, so to speak, all of the Kayanim, which would mean, l'cha'ora, that the Nusach in our Machzor is only true on Libet Rabbi Yehuda. Because Aliva to Rabbi Shimon, since these are two separate viduyim, both of which are coming for all of the Kohanim, one of which is coming for the one type of kapara, another one is coming for another type of kapara, so we would need to mention himself and Echav HaKohanim on both kaparas that it's coming, because you can't be seimach on the dam, because the dam you need for Shara Averes. So where is there the vidui in our Magzar for Echav HaKayanim? The first time around. He only mentions Aniyu Beisi. When is he going to talk about and Beis Aharon? The Tosfos is bothered by this. It's strange that we should paskin in the way in which we daven, we should paskin the Shita Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, because it's mashman that the whole sugya on which this is based in Yuma is not going. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. But he doesn't say. He says he doesn't say. He talks about his own bias first, and the second vidu he says, and the children of Aaron that you love. Right. So first he says that. It's what Rabbi Yishmael is tying over here may well be incorporated anyway, even by Rabbi Yehuda. Because after all, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, even a little bit of Rabbi Shimon. Because it makes a lot of sense if he says Aniyu Beisi, which is essentially what Michael is really asking, I think. It's really does as his terrors. When you say Aniyu Beiti, it's only the contrast of the first Aniyu Beiti to the second vidui in which he mentions Aniyu Beiti and Beit Aharon. But suppose I wouldn't have had that contrast. Didn't we say that Aniyu Beiti could technically include the Kohanim as well? So that means that there's two levels to the Vidui. According to Rabbi Shimon, we would say, let's incorporate Rabbi Yishmael. His das should be, of course, when he's being Nisvada, Aniyu Beiti, he would mean all of the Kohanim. But he doesn't say openly all of the Kohanim because of Rabbi Yishmael's remez. He wants to talk about himself, stretch himself in order that when he does mention the Kohanim, it should be coming, when he mentions it openly, it should be coming from someone who already had a kapara. So it's not necessarily a violation. So it's interesting. You have to keep in mind when you're saying the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim that there's two different levels to that whole story. Hadron alok shavuei shtayim. That's good. The next piece in our first mission, which now we're going to expand on, was the question of how Yediyas HaTumah was shtayim she'enar. But now we're going to go into the details of Yediyas HaTumah. Nitma v'yada. So somebody became Tameh, he knew that he became Tameh, and then Nelma mimenu HaTumah, he forgot that he was Tameh, but he knew that this was Basar Kodesh. Or maybe he forgot that it was Basar Kodesh, even though he remembered V'zachurat HaTumah. Or maybe he forgot both. Maybe he forgot that he had become Tameh, and he forgot that this was Basar Kodesh. V'nelmu mimenu zevezeh. V'achalat HaKodesh at the time, v'lo yada. Umisha achal yada, and afterwards he realized, oh my gosh, harei zeba olav yorit. So that's our first time. He forgets either the tuma vis-a-vis Kodesh, or he forgets the Kodesh when he's tummy. The both, of course, is not a new case. I mean, it's a combination of two cases. So you have two. The other possibility is he was nitma, so he becomes tummy. The yada, he knows about it. V'nelma mimena tuma, now he forgets he was tummy, but of course, he knows this is the Beis HaMikdash when he goes in. Or maybe he remembers that he's Tameh, but he forgets that this is the Beis HaMikdash. Or maybe both he forgot. Or Ne'alam Mimenu Zevezeh. V'nichlas HaMikdash V'lo Yada. Mishi Yatza Yada. HaRezeh Ba'olav Yoreh. Those are the four cases in which you could be Chayav and Olav Yoreh. Echad HaNichnas La'azara. Now, we know that there were an awful lot of changes up there in the area of the Har HaBayit. I mean, when the Hurdas came along, he made a massive engineering program there in which all that extra dirt, and he built a wall, which today we call the Kotel HaMa'arav, the retaining wall to hold up all that extra dirt, and he expanded on the area. So, I mean, what about expansions? And how about if you add to the Azara? I mean, what would that din be over there? Is the din of Knis of HaMikdash dependent only on the way in which Shlomo HaMelech created the Beis HaMikdash originally? Or can it be motive even on the Azara? There's archaeological questions. So it doesn't matter whether you go into an Azara or the original, or you go into additions, because the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Kedusha of the Azara is not simply a question of a municipality deciding what is what. The din is defined by a melech, a Navi, the Urim V'Tumim, a Sanhedrin Shoshivim V'Echad, two special Lachme Todas, what Todas mean over here, that are brought around in order to show where the Gvul is of eating now, and a special Shir, and Bezdin is Mahalkin. At the time, the actual Bezdin goes out and is Mishalek Saviv, the new boundaries, Ushtei Todot Achreihem, V'cho Yisrael Achreihem, in order to be Koveya the Kedusha. In which case, and we learn all this, we'll see from Tzurkim, in which case, the din of the Kedusha is a true expansion. It's not just a physical expansion.
So, is the
Mishnah
saying the expansion of the
Azor
by Herod was done?
No, that was the Arabic saying, but wherever we do expand, it was done this way.
And that was done in the time of
Hordes? Yeah, of course, why not? In the time of Hordes? Yeah. He didn't expand on the Azores. I said that was giving an example of the Har HaBayit. Ha'pnimit ne'achelet v'achitzona nisrefet. V'kol shelo na'aseh v'chol elu, ha'nichnas l'sham ein chayav aleha. If it wasn't done that way, then ein atinani. It would just be a physical difference, but the physical machitzes are not enough to be koveya at the dinim of Kedusha. No. I use that as a marshal. I mean that. No, we're not talking about over here a chiyuv of kares of being nichnas to the Har HaBayis. We're talking about it in the Sazara. So we'll talk about it. The Gemara is going to talk about it. Now, Nitma Bazar, so far what we've talked about is going into the Beis HaMikdash. The post-prince was already in the Beis HaMikdash. He becomes Tamei while he's in the Beis HaMikdash. V'ne'alma mimena tuma. And again, he knew that he became Tamei, and then he didn't realize, because this is best if we understand his Yedias Beis Rabo, and didn't pay attention, which is the way Rebbe understood the Mishnah anyway. V'zochor es HaMikdash, or ne'alma mimena mikdash, he forgets the Yitzhak Tumah b'Mikdash. V'zochor HaTuma. Or ne'alami meno zevizet. Now, for becoming tamei, he's not chayev. The din, however, is dependent on shiluach tmein from the Beis HaMikdash. Separate thing. It says v'yishlechu min hamachaneh. That v'yishlechu min hamachaneh is mechayev a person who becomes tamei to immediately leave the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if he doesn't immediately leave, let's say he wants to do a very religious job of leaving. So he first bows to Hashem before leaving. Then for that bow, he's chayev karetz. So he would be chayev because of that. Or he leaves immediately, but he takes the long way out. Saying, well, you know, you come in that door, you're supposed to go out the other door. I mean, I have to do it right. So for that, he would be chayev. Because he has to leave in the shortest possible way. That's the Vishachum and Amachaneh. So either if he was mishtachavah, or it doesn't have to be mishtachava. He could be shahabich mishtachava to be there as long as it would have taken him, and that's the shiur. We'll see if the Gemara later discusses what that shiur is. O balo ba'arucha, or he takes the long way out, then he would be fine in this korban olamiyorim. And then if he takes the shortest way out instantly, as soon as he knows, then he would be potter. Zohi mitzvat aseh shebi mikdash. Now that is a mitzvah taseh, note, that it's v'yishalchu min ha-machaneh. And because of that, ein chayavin aleah, this doesn't refer to him, it refers to Bezdin. So if a Bezdin makes a mistake and gives a hora'ah to say that such a thing was mutter, then there's no chiev of a par helam dover shal tzibur, as we'll discuss in the Gemara why that's true. However, because in Hurias, which is the Iker Mokom of the discussion of where Bezdin is Chayev Bahora, so there's a strange connection in which it says, Ein Chayavin al Esei Shebemigdash, but Bezdin is not Chayev Bahora, on Esei Shebemigdash, but they are Chayev on the Asei Shebenida. Now it's not clear what Asei is there with a Nida, and how in the world would it connect, what's the connection between the two? So what we end up, and we don't know yet what the Aseh is, which the Gemara will discuss later. But the truth is, we could only conceive of a parallel case in which someone is nichnas lemigdash b'tayra, so here he is nichnas to a woman b'tayra. She then becomes tummy. Now he's in a difficult situation. He's in the middle of intercourse with a nida. And what is he supposed to do? Does he be in the Beis HaMikdash? Suddenly he finds out that he's become Tommy. Interestingly enough, with the Beis HaMikdash, he's got to take the shortest way out. But with a woman, he's not allowed to take the shortest way out. Because if he take the shortest way out, then he's essentially continuing the act of intercourse. So what he has to do is wait until he loses his erection, and then take the longest way out. That's the point. In other words, he's got to make sure that he doesn't continue to sleep with Anita. So it's the same case, but it's a mirror image of it. It's the opposite in terms of whether he's supposed to go Biktsara or Be'arucha.
So, the Asiyas, right?
No, the Gemara will discuss with the Asiyas. But Zui mitzvah aseh shebemigdash she'en chayavim aleha. Ve'izoi mitzvah aseh shebenida she'chayavim aleha. Haya mishameshi matehora. Ve'amra lo nitmeti. So if she tells him, I've now become tmei'ah, Piresh. If he exits, Miyad, Chayev. In that case, he would be Chayev because he exited immediately. What's the difference in terms of the act of intercourse, whether he's on the way in or on the way out? Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Now, so far, we've been assuming all along that we could have Ha'alama either on the Bigdash or on the Kodesh or on the Tuma. Says Rabbi Eliezer, no, that doesn't make sense. Because if you take a look in the pasuk, it says the word halama next to the word sheretz. It says, O benivlat sheretz tameh v'ne'elam. So doesn't that imply that the only halama is halim sheretz? So halim sheretz is chayev. It doesn't say anything over there about ne'elam that it's the Beit HaMikdash, or ne'elam that it's kodesh. So halim sheretz chayav. Eno chayav al halim mikdash. Now what this sounds like he's saying is that it's only the halama on the tumah, and not the halama on the mikdash, and not the halama on the kodesh. It sounds like he's using the sheretz only as a code for tumah.
Then he wouldn't be agreeing with Shani
Shalom? Of course not. Problem is he can't mean that. Because Rabbi Akiva Omer, this is Rabbi Akiva that we've been saying all along, v'ne'alam mimenu v'hu tameh. Rabbi Akiva darshan's not sheretz tameh v'ne'alam mimenu, but rather v'ne'alam mimenu v'hu tameh v'yashem, to tell me al ha'alim tumah chayav v'no chayav al ha'alim mikdash, which sounds like exactly the same thing that Rabbi Eliezer just said, except from a different source. So the Gemara is going to ask, what in the world could be the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Yishmael Omer, this is the way we've been learning all along, V'ne'alam, V'ne'alam Shnei Pa'amim. Remember that we have the Obanim Vlasheretz Tameh V'ne'alam Yimeno, and then that was our V'hu Tameh V'ashem, and then we have the part about Oki Yigah V'chol Tumot Adam, which is a second part, which repeats again V'ne'alam Yimeno, V'hu Tameh V'ashem. To tell me Shnei Pa'amim, L'chayev al ha'alem tuma v'al ha'alem mikdash. Omer of Papalabai. Now, you must admit it isn't very clear how we read the Shnayim Shein Arba. Because in total, when you talk about Yiddiyos HaTumah, how many Yiddiyos do we really have? Well, we have varieties of 8 Yiddiyos, right? Because we have the Yiddiyah of Tumah and Legabe Kodesh. The Yiddiyah of Tumah Legabe Mikdash. And then we have the idea of the Mikdash, with the Tumah given, and the idea of Kodesh with the Tumah given, initially, and then we have the ideas at the end of the same event. I have now the Vihu Yada at the end, so now I found out either those 4. So I really have 8 cases. Now, when you're talking about ideas, we're talking about Halomas, unless we were forced into saying Halomas is what it really means. If we're talking about Yediyah Satumah, which ones is it calling Shnayim Shein Arba? Could we maybe get rid of that strange calling it 2? See, what we, if we would say, it's not really 2. The idea is that Tuma itself, what's the difference? It was Tuma vis-a-vis Kodesh. The Tuma vis-a-vis Hegdesh. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just Tuma. So what you could really say is, well, we have a total of 6. And that would make a lot of sense. So we have a Yediyah of Tuma, a Yediyah of Kodesh, and a Yediyah of Migdash. That's clear. And we have those, the first idea, the halama of the same, 3 possible halamas. Then we have the last idea, but that would be 6. That wouldn't be 4. That would be shalosh u'sheish. So how exactly do we add up the mishnah? I don't understand. Isn't it shtayim shein arba? It's shtayim shein sheish. Why couldn't we look at it as we have 2 variables, which are the elements of the tumah, or what you did with the tumah. Those are the 2 variables. Now, with those 2 variables, we create 6 cases. Total of 6 cases. Because we have the idea of the tumah, the idea of the migdash, the idea of the kodesh, at the beginning, with the appropriate halomas, and then we have the idea of the same at the end. So taking 2 variables, we have 6 cases. So why the Mishnah say, shtayim shein sheish? That's how I understand the Mishnah. You have Yediyah HaTumah, Tchila V'Sof. Then you have Yediyah HaKodesh, Tchila V'Sof. Then you have Yediyah Migdash, Tchila V'Sof. I don't understand. I mean, if you're going to look at it that way, why don't you come up with 8? L'tayinach T'man Yahavim. I mean, why don't you split up Tumah of Kodesh and Tumah of Migdash separately? So you've got Tchila V'Sof, and he gives me 8. Oh, that's a Zerfah, but that's obviously, it's all Tumah. What do I care what the Tumah is? The variables are the tumah and what you did with the tumah. Why should I look at the tumah as being 2 separate things? And it, of course, violates the way we've been looking at this all along. So what we really have is 6, not 8.
8, not 6.
we're asking, we have, you know, eight, not six. So the way I'm looking at it, yeah. I've answered it. I'm saying that I have six, right? So Mikoma Kobshitavi, I mean, bottom line is there's six cases. Therefore, says Rav Papa, you know, I'll tell you what. I mean, obviously the Mishnah is not looking at it, I mean, the way that I thought. What we are doing is, in fact, looking at the cases as they develop, not at the theoretical variables. So the cases as, because there's no, I obviously will never make this work if I insist that the shtayim are the variables. Because then I'll never get out of the six problem. I have to accept that we're not looking at the variables as being the elements that are the shtayim shein arba. So what I have to talk about there is the shtayim shein arba either, now I'm not sure, either shtayim shein arba in terms of the way I originally knew, because that's what's unique about this case, that we have the Aloma, or shtayim shein arba in terms of the way the case works out, in terms of what I knew in the end, because that's what actually is v'chayiv the karma, that you did it. So I was wrong. You're right, there are eight cases. So obviously we're talking about only four of them. Okay, what are those four? So I'm probably all of Tamanya having, okay, so I agree with you. There's eight. And I could look at it like this. Maybe the point is, I mean, since the Mishnah is talking about, I mean, ultimately, what's b'chayav you a korban? What's b'chayav you a korban is the end of who yada. And then v'yashem. I mean, otherwise you couldn't have brought a korban. So the first ones don't bring you l'day korban. They only brought you to the halama, which in the end, you then have the idea, which is b'chayav you a korban. Maybe we ignore those. And when we say Shtayim Shein Arba, we're referring only to the Arba Batraita. Zemaitin Lali Dei Korban Kachashi. Maybe that's what it means. Or you know, there's another way of saying this. I'm about to say just the opposite. I'm Rupapa. Liolam Tmani Avi. Indeed, we look at the way the cases work out, not at the theoretical variables, how they could possibly be Machai of you. So there's eight possible cases. The first four are the only thing that the Mishnah is interested in. Because the last four are common to any carbon. There's always going to be an idea of what you did wrong. But what would I have to bother telling you what the idea is that's b'chayev you the carbon? Every carbon you're chayev because you found out about what you did, whatever the heck you did. But that which is unique to Yediyah Satuma is the fact that you needed to know something up front. And it's there, after all, that we have the extra pasuk that's meram as to exactly what was going on in your mind when you did this, which we don't have by any other carbon. That's absolutely unique. So that is what the Mishnah is addressing, is the unique element. So the arba kamaite, galetnu b'chol ha-torah kula kachashu. It's the four unique ideas at the beginning, which then become halamas. That's what the Mishnah is addressing. The arba batraita, the itnu b'chol ha-torah kula lo kachashu. The last ones, which are common to all korbanos. I mean, why? Why would our Mishnah be making a deal about that? Why Rav Papa? Now, ask Rav Papa, what about if we have variations on the halomas? Let's suppose Nelmumi Menu Hilchot Tuma. Let's say, he knows what happened. He knows he touched the sherets. Now, remember what is so interesting about this entire sugya. Is the fact that we're introducing a new concept in the nature of the responsibility of a person for what he's doing. What is his das and what he's doing? We don't examine this issue elsewhere. And we've introduced the idea of knowledge on different levels. Theoretical knowledge or das, applicable knowledge, which is the question of Yediyas Beis Rabo. And it's not clear exactly what was the question? That he didn't know it was Osir? That he didn't know it happened? That he knew it was Osir and he knew that it had happened, but he hadn't realized that that had any implications for him? What element of what happened did he have to know? The physical event? Or the fact that such a physical event has such and such applications, lahalocha? So in other words, what would be, suppose he knew everything that happened, but he didn't know the halachas. What would be the din? What does that mean? He didn't know the halachas. Echidami. That what? He didn't know whether a sheretz is tameh or whether a frog is tameh. Now, it doesn't say anything about frogs in the list of the Shmona Shratzim in the Torah. So I understand that is considered to be a what, a shogeg? Zil kari be ravu. I mean, is there a child in the universe who doesn't know the difference between a frog and a lita'a, and who never read the pasuk? It doesn't know that the tzvardeya is not going to be metamein? Now, how could such a thing be? So he certainly knows a lita'a is tamei. And as Tosva says, and if he doesn't know, I mean, why doesn't he just ask any 2-year-old that's walking down the street? So he certainly knows enough to ask, doesn't he? This is aware that a sheretz is tamei. But he's not sure, is that a lita'a? So ask a kid, hey kid, is that a sheretz? So what do you mean he does? I mean, certainly that isn't considered to be a non-yediyah.
But isn't that the moment, or two, that he's not sure, isn't that a halama? No, that's not the halama, because it might be if it was a yediyah based rabbi.
In other words, if the point of it was I didn't remember enough that I should ask, then that's exactly what the halama would be. But that's what I'm asking. Is this included as the equivalent of the full yediyah that I wasn't aware of? It's just not enough. I need to actually know the whole thing. That's a machlokas. That's Rebbe, remember? Machlokas of yediyah's base rabo, which we'll talk about in a second again. So, zio kare be rabo. I mean, so go ask a kindergarten child. What kind of question is that? Liolam de yada betumah sheretz. The point is that I was asked and said, Rapapa, I'm not talking about something like that. I'm talking about a detail. Suppose he touches the shear of a kadasha. Now, he doesn't know what the shear of is of tumah. So he doesn't know. Lo yada ki adasha. I metame, I lo metame. So when we're talking about halama over here, obviously something is missing in his ability to respond. Now, whatever that something is this considered to be a yediyah, or is it considered to be that he never knew? If what's missing is the application, because there is one logical element that's missing, even though I know all of the facts. These facts don't add up to me because I don't know what the significance of an adasha is. So my, do we say, kiven biyada de metame sheretz ba'olam? And he knows that he touched the sheretz. He knows that a sheretz is metame. And now he simply does not apply that enough to go and discover, is this a sheretz that I touched or not in terms of the shear? That's called the yediyah. Because remember, the level of yediyah that the Torah insists on over here is something that is very strange. We never heard of it before. Shogeg is shogeg is shogeg anywhere else in the Torah. So it's not clear what it is that the Torah is insisting on over here. That the only shogeg that we're dealing with is where someone should have responded to what he knew. Well, if someone should have responded to what he knew, I mean, you could say by finding out. He had enough triggers. He knew he touched a sheretz at tummy. So is that enough or no? It's still the Torah insists on a full yediyah. So he knew the sheretz bowl, and that's called the yediyah. Or do we say, well, it's not enough? Even the kadash lo yada imetamei lo imetamei, it's called ha'alama. Take it. Boy, Rabbi Irvinga. How about in the opposite case? We suppose somebody comes from New York. He makes aliyah, comes to Eretz Yisrael, visits Yerushalayim for the first time, and walks straight into the Makom HaMikdash. Once upon a time. So he walks straight into the Makom HaMikdash. You see a lot of tourists. They come, get used to go up there all the time. Absolutely no idea. What?
Constantly.
I had no idea what that was. I had no idea what that was. And then, you know, take the tour of the Mas Kedoma on the Rock. You know, what was that? I know that's the place of Mikdash. That never occurred to me. I know you're not supposed to go on the base of Mikdash, but... Yeah, then I've met people.
I
too. No, he was a Tina Shanishba. No, though you probably don't fit the bill. Yeah, you might have to pay for an all that already.
Uh-oh. When they build the
Roy Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Ben Bava Shalal Eretz Yisrael Venelami Menem Malkam Mikdash. He didn't realize this was the Malkam. He knew he's in Yerushalayim. He knows there's a place of Mikdash in Yerushalayim. He knows he's Tamei. He's not supposed to be going in the place. But again, I mean, is he supposed to ask Barnea? Who will give him the wrong directions undoubtedly anyway. He shouldn't have asked Barnea. He's supposed to ask a tour guide where the Beis HaMikdash is. So come on, well, who are you asking this according to? It's not even a question. I'll leave it to mine. If you're going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, which I assume, I mean, it's only Rabbi Akiva, all you need is Yediyah B'Tchila. Remember, Rabbi Akiva just said in the Mishnah, Al Helen Tumau Chayav, Eno Chayav Al Helen Mikdash. So it wouldn't have helped him anyway. I mean, this is not Negel Alokha. You knew that it was a Beis HaMikdash, so it was. I mean, that's not the point. Forgot a Beis HaMikdash, that's not where we're talking about Alomas. Only the Alomas have 2 minutes before you. On the other hand, you want to say it's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel, who learns Menelam and Melam, that he's Chayav on Helen Mikdash as well. But he was the one who says that you don't need Yediyah B'Tchila, said Rabbi Shmuel. So therefore, who are you asking? What do you mean, who am I asking? I'll leave it to Rebbe. I mean, as we said, the mission was going, I'll leave it to Rebbe. It's a combination of the Shitas here. So according to Rebbe, Rebbe holds you do need the idea of B'tchila. And Rebbe holds your Chayav on Helen Mikdash. And Rebbe holds Yediyat Beit Rabo Shema Yediyah. So Rebbe holds the fact that you knew something, and now we have a deeper understanding of the sugi here, because it's really all based on the question of the fact that the Torah considers something to be a yediyah, which is also a halama. The fact that someone knows something that means nothing to him. That is called the vanilla. I learned about this in school. Now, Richie learned about this in school somewhere, right? At one point or another, you learned in school that somebody, I mean, you listened to the Parsha HaShavua. You were sitting there in shul, you heard them say it. So you knew it. It just made absolute. Even then.
What day you dreaming?
You mean something never changes? So the question, according to Rebbe, in your initial theoretical knowledge of a thing, with having absolutely no sense that such a thing could ever be applicable to you. He says that is what the Torah is talking about when it talks about a halama. It means you know but don't know. Which makes a great deal of sense. But it's not, you were in the Beis HaMikdash, you suddenly forgot it's the Beis HaMikdash. That's the point. You know all of the facts. They just don't add up to anything, which happens to us all the time. We know facts, but it makes absolutely no impact on our behavior because it doesn't seem to apply to the current situation.
You know that such things are based on English. You know that such a thing is Tumba.
And you know you touched the Sheretz, and you know this is the Beis HaMikdash, and you still don't realize you should get out of here. As Rashi says, Eino Sam Alibo, you just don't take it to heart, is what we'd say in English. It's, you know, it's a theoretical thing. It's very rare that a person should take something that we had never looked at as being Nogayim and all of a sudden realize, that's me. Right? And it's like an epiphany. Wow. That was really referring to me.
And the guy comes in and says, can I leave my wallet here for a little while? So he said, oh, okay. He didn't walk out. He's wearing sneakers. I said, oh my gosh, he's going to Harvai. He's left Mr. Rollins. That's what he was doing. Right? He was leaving his wallet. But it's there.
Is he walking 15?
All right, so now, according to Rebbe, that's our question over. If you need Yediyah B'Tchila, you're Chayav on Helen Mikdash. He holds Yediyah's based Rabbah Shmo Yediyah. So now this is the question. Do we say that is the full equivalent of Yediyah's based Rabbah, essentially? Because look, he knows the Yadah Di'ika Mikdash Ba'olam. So that's enough. It's essentially, even though he can't put it together, but Yediyah's based Rabbah you also can't put together. I mean, you can, but you didn't put together. And that exactly is our question. Does it mean you were in possession of all the possible elements that should have led you to put it together logically and didn't? Or does it mean you were in possession of the elements of the Isser, but maybe you weren't able to put it together? Such as here, where you didn't have that last piece, you didn't ask the tour guide to where precisely the Makom HaMikdash is. Maybe that's even less than Yediyas Beis Rabba. That's our question. So is this called Yediyah? Or do we say the inability to put it all together, in a sense, is triggered perhaps by the loss of that one piece? Maybe that one piece would click it. Or we say, well, the reason you don't have that one piece is because it never occurred to you that it was important even to know that one piece. You're not used to thinking in those ways and in such circumstances. Take it. And this is the way he has the cards. We have the same question on both levels of halama. So we meet again, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow night, 7:45 is good. Richie.